and be stupid. I mean, that legend could be you too. No, you was sitting on the couch watching cartoons. That's way before the YouTube. You was a young kid singing that stoop. Kids afraid to leave the stoop.
It came really easy just to like rhyme words with each other and just to kind of write in that way. So my freshman year of college, it was kind of a weird time for me. Like I was super, super lonely and just kind of bored, you know, because like that first year of college, you're kind of separated from all your high school friends. Everybody kind of spreads out, goes to their various schools. And I was kind of like, you know, I don't really want to just sit at home and kind of just sulk in this and just kind of waste this year. I want to like develop a skill. During that time, I'd really gotten into like the early works of like Kendrick Lamar, the underground blog era hip hop. So that's like, you know, your Currencies, your Wiz Khalifas, your ASAP Rockies, Wale's, all those guys. I just really got into their music and just kind of wanted to try my hand at actually rapping and making my own hip hop music. So when I was at school, I would just be in the library, you know, in between classes all day, just writing raps and in these, you know, composition notebooks. All horrible, terrible raps, by the way. But you got to start somewhere, you know. And then that kind of just, yeah, from then, I believe I was 19 when I started. And then just since then, just kept doing it, tried to perfect my craft even more so. And I feel like nowadays my music is kind of, there's a lot of hip hop in it, but it's kind of a bit more than just straight ahead rap.
Talk about some of the other music maybe that you were listening to. You fuse in lots of soul and even jazz elements. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. In the house, my parents played a lot of jazz music, you know, classic soul. There was this radio station. You probably know what I'm talking about. You know, Smooth Jazz, V98.7. Yeah, that was on at all times throughout like my entire childhood. Every single day, 24 hours a day. I got like a crash course on soul music and, you know, just those people who made that kind of stuff like ingrained in my DNA. Cause like I said, probably since I was born until we moved out of that house when I was like probably 17, literally 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It was always on. And then also in high school, I was really into indie rock music as well. You know, loved your Bon Ivers, loved Death Cab, loved Paramore. So all kind of like an amalgamation of all those, I feel like are really coming out in my music now.
For the one that's on my mind, say one time, yeah, say one time. For the one so sublime, oh why? I'ma close my eyes in the middle of the fire. She don't know the why, she don't know, but maybe.
I feel like I'm being my truest form in the way I create now. So you kind of hear the various influences that I grew up with in the music that I'm making, you know, currently.
Tell me about some of the earliest things that you did, especially when I was looking back. I saw something called The Good Old Days. Tie that in with this element of a bit of nostalgia that is infused into your kind of your whole canon. And even there's a lot of colorful imagery. There's even imagery of cereal boxes, cartoons. I mean, just yeah. Talk about that.
Dang, you did your research. So when I was at Michigan State, I remember I just wanted to do a show just to kind of bring people together and just kind of have a good time and enjoy hip hop music and just kind of nostalgia. And I wanted to like create a space for that. And there was this record store called The Record Lounge, actually, in East Lansing. And I'm like, let me throw this show and have my friends play with me. I'll make it free. And let's just see if we can, you know, pack out the show and just kind of create this crazy nostalgic 90s world. So I had everybody come in, you know, everyone who went, attended the show, dress up in like their 90s gear. We had like a contest for whoever had the best 90s gear. Then we get like prizes. So we threw it and it was extremely packed. Like it was completely packed out the record store. It was so packed, so much so that like when you open the door to try and get in, people would like fall out because they were so like smushed together, which is crazy to think about in this COVID world now, people being so close, you know, in a show setting. But I just wanted to create a world to have this whole 90s nostalgia thing exist in real time. And it was great.
I will be Samurai Jack, but I ain't never going back to the past, no looking back. I got a plan for the hump. I gotta go over that. I gotta be on the map. Get my city out the trap. We gonna win this race. This just
You've got a live band as well. So jump us up to today, I guess. Jump us up to what you've been working on lately and coming back to Detroit from East Lansing.
Yeah, so coming back to Detroit from East Lansing, in this post-COVID world now, trying to get back into doing shows, I had, you know, a choice to make. You know, I wanted to start doing shows again now that the world's opening back up. But I wanted to do it a bit differently, not just have your average DJ and, you know, MC and just kind of do shows that way. Of course, that's great. You know, that's fun. But I always thought live music is something that I've always been a part of, like, my entire life, you know, being a drummer. So I definitely missed that element. I was like, all right, if I do shows now, let me like try and make it an experience and have, when people come, give them a reason to want to come to the next thing and give them a reason to tell people about it and incorporate this whole soul, live music, jazz thing that I've just been into for so long. Some of my biggest influences are the Soulquarians, you know, Questlove, D'Angelo, Erica, that whole group of people. Some of the records they worked on in the late 90s to early 2000s, there's a lot of live music, live instrumentation to it. And just kind of having that incorporated in the whole nostalgia thing, I feel like kind of makes sense. So I was like, yeah, let me have a live band. And a lot of the people in my band, they're friends that I went to school with at Michigan State. I was actually living near the jazz school. So whenever I would go to the dining hall, they would just be there and develop a friendship. Remember the first time we sort of talked about it, like, yeah, you know, we know you do music. If you ever need a live band, you know, we'd love to play with you. I'm like, perfect, let's try it. And then we did it. And ever since, I've been hooked to having a live band. You know, I think it's just a whole different element. And I call my band the Cul-de-Sac. So that kind of adds into the whole, you know, nostalgia. I try to keep it cohesive and consistent. But yeah, so I call them the Cul-de-Sac, and we've been rocking for a minute now. So it's been great.
I was telling you about this feeling I get from listening to all your music that I can't put into words, but I think if the word I could find, the word would be invigorating. And then the energy and the sentiments and the lyrics is always a sense of resiliency and kind of a hopefulness. Even when you're really picking yourself back up, there's that idea that you're gonna overcome, surpass, move on. The music itself is very invigorating. What is it about that metaphorical cul-de-sac and those 90s cartoons that draws you to it, I guess?
Of course, you know, the things that you watch as a child, they do inform how you are as an adult. But I think part of it is a lot of the cartoons and things that I was super into, it was kids doing pretty like outlandish and crazy things. I feel like the thesis of these shows is really like the sky's the limit. No matter how young you are, how old you are, you can still accomplish incredible things. So I think that's bled its way into my music and just kind of the way I view the world. It might be naivete, it might be optimism, who knows what it is. But yeah, I think that a lot of that has really informed why I feel like I try to come off so hopeful in, you know, the things that I write and how I really want to inspire people to go after what it is they want to do.
Tell me about just coming into this, because it has been a strange last couple of years, and yet we have seen an entire scene or community of artists mm-hmm. forging forward and still being able to make connections with each other and even collaborations with each other throughout mm-hmm. this disjointed chaos. And Jacob Sigman, Oli, Pia, Allie Evenson, and you're all in this awesome circle that I've been viewing from afar through social media, because we really haven't mm-hmm. been having normal shows. But you're still forging a community. Just I guess talk about your collaborations, I guess.
It's this collective that I feel like is being formed out of all of the people that you mentioned. I call it PS118. You know what that is, right?
Is that Hey Arnold?
Yeah, it's the school from Hey Arnold, exactly. Yeah, so I remember one day we were at Assembles, Sigmund and I, and I was like, yo, we need a name for just like this overarching community that's being formed. Like, yeah, it feels like we're all kind of like in the same class. I'm like, a class, like a school, like PS118, that's us, PS118. That's the entire thing. It's just kind of been super organic, you know, as just like that whole world of people is, I think it's just a cool thing that has began coming out of, you know, a need for collaboration and just wanting to make the best possible stuff.
A huge need for collaboration. You're all so talented and you really haven't had an opportunity to work together in a state of normalcy yet. So I can't even imagine what you'll do next.
I mean, the show that we're doing, that'll probably be the first like real time thing that we're going to be able to experience as a group. So that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. March 26th, that's the show, The Sanctuary. Really looking forward to that. The first PS118 show. You know, Allie's going to be there. She'll be singing on a couple songs live. Of course, Pia's doing her first show ever, which will be great. Sigmund's playing on it. My friend Munch and my two other friends, Internet Boy and Leo Pastel. Yeah, all this, everybody on it is like a part of, like I said, this PS118 collaboration collective.
Music journalists have to speak in these grandiose hyperbolic terms, but how does it feel to be about to play a show in which literally everyone involved feels as though they are on the rise, including mm-hmm. you?
It feels amazing. Like, I think there's a new wave coming out of Detroit. You know, I think it's something different that hasn't quite been a mix of artists like this, at least that I've never noticed. So I think it's going to be great. I'm super excited about what's going to be happening. Like you said, there's so much talent in the city, and I just want to be a part of things that help to, you know, shine a light on all of my talented friends and their talented friends and their talented friends. So just to kind of, you know, grow up together. This is the way you got, it's the way you got me. We don't talk, why my phone never rings? I tell you I'm not.
say anything.